Green Bay Packers minicamp is underway, but without 15 of the team's best players. Veterans were excused from minicamp by head coach Mike McCarthy. So how has that changed the tenor of practice? We'll ask Cheesehead TV's own Michelle Bruton. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Green Bay Packers football. We're talking minicamp. And to do that this morning, we have a guest joining us on the phone.
Interview.
We've got Michelle Bruton of Cheesehead TV. Michelle, we had you on the show a few years ago, but that was a while back. Welcome again to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
No problem. As we talk about mini camp here this morning, we're going to kind of go through what happened at practice yesterday. And Michelle, to kick things off, do you think Mike McCarthy made the correct choice by giving the 15 veterans with the most experience off the entire mini camp?
I do. You know, the Packers are playing in the Hall of Fame game this year on August 7th, and so the team has an extra week of work during training camp. And that being the case, I think McCarthy felt comfortable giving the veterans the entire 3 days of mini camp off. I think that the way it usually works is that Mike McCarthy does the off-site team bonding experience 1 day of minicamp and then gives the veterans another day of minicamp off. So usually they're there for 1 day, I believe, the ones who he decides at the cutoff, which this year was 6 seasons or more. But this year, because they did the team bonding activity during OTAs, the veterans have all 3 minicamp practices off, which I think is fine. I think that when you get to 6-7 seasons in your career, I think the biggest thing you're worried about is injuries. And, you know, the Packers, you know, knock on wood, have had quite a few OTAs, minicamp, training camp injuries that have really hurt them in the past. And so I think that McCarthy is making the right choice by kind of protecting them. You know, on another team, I think it's different because you've got really important guys who are coming in, you know, 6-7 year players who are going to plug into starting positions like Julius Peppers did a couple years ago. But because most of the Packers veterans are homegrown, they know the system, and they it's more important that they don't get injured.
Yeah, I am in complete agreement with that, you know, as far as opening the door for the younger players this week. And the last guys who really need the extra work are the Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers and Josh Sittons of the team who know what they're doing. But, you know, that this being the case, obviously the most notable name absent is QB1, Aaron Rodgers, which is allowing Brett Hundley to be the number one QB this week. Do you think he has what it takes to lead an NFL offense if he's thrust into that role, Michelle?
Yeah, you know, I think that this is a really exciting time to be watching Hundley as he leads the number one offense. He's getting to show off his arm and his beautiful deep ball, which we saw a little bit yesterday during the first practice. If Jeff Janis could hold on to those balls, that would be great. But Hundley's doing great. I'm not sure that he's, you know, a top-tier NFL quarterback at this point in time right now, but I think he's in this middle area where I think he's too talented to be a career backup for sure. And so last year in the preseason, he led the league in touchdown passes. That's a pretty high bar. I think he's probably going to surpass it this year. Unfortunately, the timeline obviously doesn't work out for the Packers to groom him as Rodgers' replacement, and so I think they'll definitely lose him so that he can go be a starting quarterback after his rookie contract ends if they don't look to trade him before that even and earn back that fifth-round pick they spent on him, probably more. But I think it's really exciting to see him focus and fine-tune his game. You know, we know he has the arm strength. We know he has the physical ability, but he says that this offseason he's learning more about protection adjustments and run adjustments and audibles. And I think he's going to be probably a starting quarterback before or by the time Aaron Rodgers retires.
Yeah, remarkable to think that last year he led the NFL during the preseason in touchdown passes, and this year they have an extra preseason game and could surpass that. That'll be interesting to watch in the month of August. Michelle, but continuing on here, what's your level of concern with a player like Jared Cook that he didn't get much practice time during this offseason program, because of his injury, because he's getting this week off? And he's not going to get any more practice for at least the rest of the off-season program with veterans getting mini camp off.
So I'm definitely a little concerned. I think anyone who says they're not concerned is being a little bit intellectually dishonest, because you can't really claim that Jared Cook is this potential star who's been missing a star quarterback on the other end of a ball and a solid offensive system that plays to his strengths for his entire career, but then also say that it's not worrisome that he's not getting time to adjust to Green Bay's system. You know, this system might be the one he's been missing. It might be the one where he thrives, but he needs to play in it first to get there. He's poised to be a huge part of the offense this season with what he can bring to the screen game and plays in the seam. And that's going to require more than just studying the playbook. He's going to have to get a sense of timing of the offense. He's going to have to get comfortable with Aaron Rodgers, because we know that Rodgers will not throw to a guy if he's not comfortable with his ability to catch the ball. And obviously, Cook has had problems with drops in the past. So, you know, I think that as long as he's good to go for the start of training camp, which is kind of the current timeline, my concern is mild at best. But sure, you know, you want him out there running routes and really like working with the other guys and just kind of plugging into this system.
For sure. Now, yesterday we learned that Jeff Janis injured his back during the Hail Mary during the playoffs at Arizona that got so much attention, but ultimately led to defeat. But, speaking of Janis, though, do you have any concerns at all about this injury lingering? I don't know if I'm just overreacting because I just found out about this yesterday, but I thought it was worth bringing up if nothing else.
Yeah, you know, I have no concerns. So it was a back bruise, and so exceedingly painful. I'm sure he was in so much pain at the time. But the thing about a back injury, so he got a knee in the back, which very painful. But as long as he didn't injure any vertebrae or doesn't have any nerve damage, he should be, you know, good as new. And it doesn't seem like he has any of those lasting side effects. And I think the required surgery obviously is really worrisome, because it's possible that player will never be the same and play at his former level again. But honestly, if we're talking playoff injuries, I would be more concerned about lingering effects from Cobb's punctured lung than Janis's back.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that for sure. We're talking to Michelle Bruton of Cheesehead TV here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Talking Packers mini camp today. Michelle, one of the big topics this week is the return of the rookies who had missed OTAs because of NFL rule. By NFL rule, they had to return to campus or couldn't be at team facilities at least. And Mike McCarthy talked about Kenny Clark getting playing time this week at different positions along the defensive line. How important do you think is it for Kenny Clark to have that versatility to play different positions in the trenches?
Yeah, you know, I think it's pretty important. I think just on a basic level, you want your first round picks to sort of be able to do a lot for you and not just kind of plug in at one position, especially when you're a rotational 3-4 defense. You're not even really in base that often. But on the whole, the defensive line isn't super deep right now. And so I think it's definitely important for the Packers to have that positional versatility among their defensive line. But I think it's also important for Clark's own development, for him to be able to rotate along the line too, especially as he continues to build out his frame. I think people forget that he's still only 20 years old. And so I'd personally like to see him spend a little bit more time in an NFL weight room before he takes up permanent residence at nose tackle. So I think that if he can kind of rotate along the defensive line as he works to build out his frame, and develop that real strength at nose tackle, that will just benefit him. But I think, you know, he's got that wrestling background, so he has a nice leverage. And at the combine, he told everyone that he envisioned himself playing like Haloti Ngata on early downs and like Geno Atkins on passing downs, which I think Don Capers would be just fine with that.
That would be nice to see in a Green Bay Packers uniform. But elsewhere on the defensive side of the football, Dimitri Goodson, cornerback, didn't practice due to injury at minicamp on Tuesday. But Michelle, between the injury and his suspension now to open the season, how secure is Dimitri Goodson's roster spot?
So I'm going to go bold here and say that he doesn't survive Final Cut. I think he's gone. You know, it's just, it's too much. You've got the off-field issue and suspension. You've got the injury. And you also just, on a basic level, have players who can do what he does in the field at the same or a higher level. I thought about this right after the draft, which exceedingly early. I did a early off-season depth chart and 53-man roster prediction for Bleacher Report. And I thought about this a lot, but at the end of it, I only had four corners making the final roster, which were Shields, Vandal, Rollins, and Gunter. And I think Goodson's the odd man out.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about at this point that his roster spot could be in jeopardy. Obviously, training camp will have a lot to do with it, but certainly not setting him up very good for the time being. But continuing to talk about minicamp here, Michelle, if you had to pick one player for whom you'd say this is a really important week of practice, you know, with all the veterans out and this player can get a lot of practice time and development, who would that player be? Maybe apart from Brett Hundley, who obviously is going to, it could be a big week for him leading the offense. But apart from Brett Hundley, who's a player you would watch this week at minicamp?
So I would go so far as to say that this week is the most important of any player for rookie Blake Martinez. So he's rolling at number one inside linebacker right now because Dan Barrington's still recovering from that foot injury. But I think Martinez can really push Barrington for starting inside linebacker spot, even in week one. I actually just wrote about him this morning for Cheesehead TV in my weekly Green and Bold column. But he was lucky enough to play it a starting spot with the number one defense through PAs in the first minicamp practice yesterday. And obviously it's a little bit mitigated by the fact that Sam Barrington isn't practicing right now as he recovers from that foot injury. But given how much time he's spent away from the field, I don't think a starting job is guaranteed for him by the time he's cleared. And Martinez, I think, you know, in addition to inside linebacker being one of the open starting jobs that someone's competing for this offseason, it could be the position, as we know, that kind of makes or breaks the Packers' defense this year. And the Packers drafted Martinez in part because one of the big things they were missing was a solid coverage linebacker over the middle, and he's already proving he can do that. Yesterday, it was really nice to see him. He dropped back into coverage and broke up a pass by rookie quarterback Joe Callahan. So he's already out there making plays. He's proving that he's not just starting at the number one spot because he's filling in for an injured Sam Barrington. I think there's a chance that he earns that in week one. So I think very, very important week and off season for him to kind of show what he can do.
Interesting. On the last episode of this show, I posed pretty much the exact same question to Joe Zenzola, and he had the exact same answer about Blake Martinez being the player to watch this week. So he's a player definitely on people's radars, and most definitely. But one more question here, Michelle, before we let you go. With Tim Maste among the 15 veterans given minicamp off, Peter Mortel, the rookie, is the only punter at minicamp this week. What do you think are his chances of making the 53-man roster this season?
You've got to think that they're fairly good. I mean, Maste is being asked to fight for his job again for the second time in as many years, and that's not a good sign. He had such a poor season in 2014, the worst net average of his career. And yeah, he improved a little bit last year, but he still was 31st in punts inside the 20-yard line. You know, it wasn't a perfect year for him by any means. He was really average in the playoffs. He didn't really have any punts that pinned opponents back near their own end zone. I think the Packers sort of seem like they're ready to move on as long as they can find the right person to do it with. And I don't know, you know, it's hard with hunters, right, because you don't get to see them do a lot. But I think, you know, Martel, just looking at his history, he is, I think he's, like, leading Minnesota in school history for his 44 average, and which he averaged over 203 punts. That's really good. And so I think that he definitely has what it takes, and it's just a question of if he can sort of fit in well with Green Bay special teams. But, yeah, you know, I think the Packers are kind of just hoping they find a guy who they feel confident replacing Maste with. So I would say his chances maybe 60% Martel of making the roster.
Yeah, it'd be fun to watch during training camp as it plays out, that in the preseason. But thank you, Michelle. We covered offense, defense, and special teams this morning. Good to talk some Packers football. Glad to have you back on the show, and we'll do it again sometime without such a big gap in between, all right?
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Okay, take care. Michelle Bruton, bye-bye. Cheesehead TV's own, joining us here at Railbird Central on a Wednesday morning. Glad to have her joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue on with the show.
Packers news of the day.
Sorry for that low-level buzz that kind of happened during the interview. There was something going on with the phone line that I could not correct, but thankfully it wasn't too obnoxious, and we were able to hear Michelle just fine. So I think I've got it now. I think it just simply had to do with the phone connection, whatever that was, had to do with it. But okay, so Packers news of the day. We learned yesterday the Packers' first-round draft pick, defensive lineman Kenny Clark, was at UCLA when the recent shooting took place on campus June 1st. This according to multiple news outlets. I can't pick just one that several, you know, all reported on this. Unfortunately, this incident has been overshadowed by the biggest mass shooting in United States history. You know, took place on, what was it, Saturday night, Sunday morning in Orlando. But seeing as there's a Packers angle here, this is a good time to address what happened. And first of all, Kenny Clark was fine. He apparently was in the athletic department's weight room when the incident happened, which went on lockdown, and he was not near the shooting and never in danger. But this being the only soapbox I have, I'm going to use it. And just to say this, you know, something has to change in this country about the ease of buying assault rifles. And let me be clear, no one wants to take away hunting rifles. I'm a hunter. Those are fine. But I know many more, you know, how many more mass shootings must we endure before there's change in the United States of America? It didn't happen after Sandy Hook, when children were murdered, and now 50 people just died in Orlando, and there was a shooting on the UCLA campus, and that's a shame. And that's pretty much all I wanted to say. This isn't an original thought. It's been echoed by many. But again, like I said, this being the only soapbox I have, I'm going to use it, because I think there needs to be change in this country, and seeing as there is a Packers angle to it, taking the opportunity to do so. But that's it. End rant. And to transition, Kenny Clark is okay, and that's great. And we actually also learned this past week that the rookies that were away for the team that we talked about before, because barred by NFL rules from being at team facilities, those being Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry, and Kyle Murphy, three of the Packers' 2016 draft class, we learned that they would have regular Skype sessions with the coaching staff to keep up to speed while they were gone. So while they weren't out on the field getting the, you know, tutoring, you know, in real time, while they were actually doing physical activity and getting feedback while they were going through it, and getting that NFL, you know, coaching in an NFL environment, at least there was some sort of plan in place to keep them up to speed with the X's and O's of the playbook and things like that. and hopefully they're learning a lot this week while they haven't, while Kenny Clark and company, missed basically all of OTAs, which was a 3-week program. They were here for rookie orientation camp. They are here for mini camp. That's basically 2 weeks of instruction that they have gotten, that they have been here, which is good, which is good. I hope they're learning a lot this week as they, prepare to take this time off here during the month of July coming up here before, training camp starts towards the end of that month. But that's all on the Kenny Clark front. In other Packers news, safeties coach Darren Perry is back with the team after the death of his father, according to an article by Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Perry's father passed away on June 2nd and was away from the team for the past week or so to be with his family. Now, I'm not exactly sure of the exact dates he was away, but I mean, we're talking now toward the end of OTAs that he missed. But he's now back for minicamp, helping the young safeties on the team, as Morgan Burnett is one of those excused from the team here with the 15 veteran most players absent from minicamp here, being excused that they don't have to be around. As far as Packers news goes, that's about it on that front as far as developing stories or things that are different that have changed in the past few days' time. But just one more thing I wanted to point out here, and I wanted to direct your attention to an article written by Lori Nickel of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It was actually published on Monday. So if you're going to go to JS Online, you might have to look through that, go to their Packers page and look through down a few articles now that it was published like 2 days ago. But this is the first chance I've gotten to address it since our last episode of Railbird Central. But the article is all about how the Packers use body composition, which measures things like muscle mass and fat mass and bone density, which I think is very, very interesting. It's apparently seems to be more important to them than things like body mass index or even just plain old weight. There's been so much attention this offseason on the weight of especially Eddie Lacy, but we've also learned that offensive lineman Josh Sitton apparently lost 20 pounds. We're learning that Aaron Rodgers is eliminating dairy for his diet and has lost some weight, although albeit not a lot. But anyway, just weight has become a very big issue around this team, dating back to last season and continuing on into this season. So I just think this is quite interesting. It's kind of seems to be a new development, a new trend. I don't know if it's across the NFL. I would assume so, or if it's not already, that it would be soon. What's interesting is I actually had an acquaintance tell me a couple years ago how they would do this at the NFL Combine, when they go through all the players go through their medical testing and how teams look for certain things among this body composition to make, judgments about perhaps their conditioning or things like their, bone density and body mass and things like that. This was a few years ago, actually. And perhaps this is just one of those things where, they're not publicizing it, so it's just kind of coming out to the public consciousness now when people ask about it or find out about it. So I really truly do think that's interesting. I suggest, go read the article. It's just kind of a, it's about the NFL and how they operate and things that happen behind the scenes that you really don't know about until something, an article like this is published and kind of brings it to light a little bit more. So truly, truly interesting. Go give it a read there at JS Online by author Lori Nickel. But that leads us into the next segment of the show.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers today and for the next few days, mini camp continues. Practice takes place at 11:30 a.m. Central Time, both Wednesday and Thursday, at Clark Hinkle Practice Field. That's adjacent to the Don Hutson Center, of course, weather permitting, because if it happened to be raining or storming or something, they would go inside the Don Hutson Center. And unfortunately, I believe that closes practice to the public. So, but anyway, as long as things are fine, practice for the next 2 days is going to be open. So feel free to go to Green Bay to check out, because this is now your last chance until training camp, which doesn't open until late July. So for more than a month, it's your last chance to catch a glimpse of the Green Bay Packers on the practice field, both Wednesday and Thursday, and this Thursday so then concludes the off-season program, you know, which has been, you know, about 2 months in length, beginning way back, you know, we're talking April here when they had just phase one of the, you know, the off-season program starting, when we talked about where they were just doing strength and conditioning, and that transition to phase two when they were just doing, you know, individual drills with their position groups, and that transitioned into phase three when they would actually practice and do 11-on-11s, which is where we are now, finally at mandatory mini camp, unless, you know, you're excused from the team. But, you know, unless you're one of those 15 players, it's mandatory that you are there at mini camp. So that's where the Packers are at now. Two more practices before the off-season program ends. And then they get the month of, you know, the end of June, the beginning of July off. It's about a month total, you know, from when minicamp ends to when training camp begins, about a month off or so. You know, the Packers, of course, will be, them and the Colts will be the first two teams that start training camp this year, because having to do so a week early because of the Hall of Fame game and all that. So I guess from that standpoint, there's a little bit less waiting compared to other teams in the NFL, at least. So you'll be getting your football fix one week early this offseason when training camp begins. But for the rest of this week, like I was saying, the day ahead, you know, today, tomorrow, mini camp, and that's it. So enjoy it while it lasts here, because there will be a little bit of a lull. There's no more dead time around the NFL than around the 4th of July, which is when there's very, very little news surrounding the NFL. And it's almost hard to do episodes of Railbird Central around that time, but we'll do our best. I will admit here that there is going to be no episode of Railbird Central this Friday. I have plans, but we'll be back again next week, so don't worry. The most important thing is we'll have regular episodes during the season when there's all sorts of football news to talk about. But as training camp ends here, we'll be taking Friday off and we'll be back next week. But thank you everybody so much for joining us here on a Wednesday morning. Glad to have Michelle Bruton be our guest on the show. My call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. The show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. That's the one small thing we ask. If you go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV, it'll pop right up. Give us a 5-star rating and a brief little review. We greatly appreciate it, because it helps people find the show and helps them know they're listening to the best Packers podcast on the internet. That's it. We'll see you, folks. Have a good Wednesday, and in fact, have a good weekend. We'll see you next week. On behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Caribou. I leave you today with a song called Colorado Bluebird Sky by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack Go. Headed west on a greyhound, just turned 20.